sich so wie so ein Beis mischte Alef, und ein Beis mischte Dalet, in ma bin behimma befund de koi shul goyim. It is forbidden to set up one's animal at an inn where he is staying, which belongs to a non-Jew, in their stables, reisha chashudin al harviya, because the owners, the non-Jews, are suspected of committing bestiality and going to have relations with the animal. Now, it's forbidden not only for a Jew to do that, but even for a non-Jew to behave in that immoral manner is forbidden for him as well. And therefore, to you to put your animal there in his stables, available for him, would come under the category of lifnei iver lesitein michshol, which literally means that you can't place a stumbling block in front of a blind person. But included in this, it's more of a parable for causing him to do something either which is harmful for himself or to do an avira. You can't cause and assist somebody else to do an avera, and so this is forbidden. And a woman cannot be alone with a non-Jew, because they are suspected of being immoral with her. Now, it's forbidden even for a woman to be alone with a Jewish man. The difference is, if the Jewish man's wife is present, then there's no problem, because he's not going to do anything immoral with her whilst his wife is there. However, with non-Jews, even if the non-Jew's wife is present, it's still forbidden for another woman to be there. Because even then we suspect the man of being immoral, since their standards of morality are much lower. And nobody, even a man, can be alone with non-Jews, because they are suspected of murder. If you're left alone with them in an area which is not public, then they'll have the opportunity and they are suspected of maybe murdering you. Now, when the Mishnah talked about a woman, this wasn't a concern, because that is much less likely that they will go and murder a woman who is alone with them rather than a man. With a woman, they're more likely to be immoral. Bas Yisrael l'yaldes anochris, a Jewish woman cannot assist and really be a midwife to help a non-Jewish woman give birth, and maybe she mialedes bein la vidazara, because she is effectively helping a person being born for Avodah Zarah, to serve Avodah Zarah. Since this person is going to end up serving Avodah Zarah, she is effectively assisting and causing that. But a non-Jewish woman can be a midwife and assist a Jewish woman giving birth. You can use a non-Jewish midwife, and we don't suspect her of trying to kill or harm the baby. A Jewish woman may not nurse a baby, a child of a non-Jewish woman, because once again, she is helping to keep this person alive and to raise this child for who's going to end up worshipping Avodah Zarah. But a non-Jewish woman can nurse the son of a Jewish woman with her permission. Once again, we don't suspect the non-Jewish woman of trying to murder the child, and so it would be permitted. One can use the non-Jews for healing purposes if it's for the sake of healing his possessions, i.e. his animals. But not to heal himself, his own life, because there it's very easy for the doctor to kill him and even to pretend that it was a mistake, or not to be careful when he's dealing with his health. And so you cannot go to a non-Jewish doctor for him to heal you from something serious. That having been said, the Gemara says that one is able to accept medicine from a non-Jewish doctor, since there he's not suspected of putting something different in the medicine in order to kill you, because he knows that you're also able to go to a different doctor to check that this is indeed a proper medicine. And so he's not suspected of trying to kill you in that situation. Continues the mission, it's forbidden to have a haircut by a non-Jew in any place. That's the opinion of Meir, because it's also very easy for him, with one move of the hand, to slit your neck and to kill the Jew. That is the opinion of Meir. If they're doing it in a public place, then he's not suspected of doing that, although it's very easy for him to do it with one move of the hand. Since it's a public area, he's not suspected of going and murdering you in public. And so mutter, it would be permitted to have a haircut with him in a public place. No, just not when it's just them two in that area. Now, we're not only talking about a private place, but let's say it's inside in a building, because we already learned that it's forbidden at all to be alone with a non-Jew. Not just for the sake of a haircut, but it's always forbidden to be alone with a non-Jew. But over here, even if it's, let's say, in a quiet street where nobody is around, so in terms of just being there alone with a non-Jew, that's permitted. But to have a haircut from him in that place,
would be forbidden since there aren't people around, we do suspect him of murdering the Jew. Mishnah Gimel, Eilu Dvarim Shel Goyim Asurim, the following items belonging to non-Jews are forbidden, v'isurin isur hana'ah, and their prohibition is a prohibition of even benefiting. Not only is it forbidden to consume the following things, it's forbidden to derive any benefit from them. Firstly, hayayin, wine. Now, wine which a non-Jew used for part of the process of sacrificing to Avodah Zarah, if he poured wine next to the Avodah Zarah as a way of serving it, that is known as Yei Nesech, or Yai Nesech, and that is forbidden mid-Eraisa to have benefit from there. Our Mishnah is talking even about a regular wine belonging to a non-Jew that he hasn't used to serve Avodah Zarah. Any wine which he has in his house is forbidden for you to benefit from. One reason could be because we suspect that perhaps he has used it for Avodah Zarah. But in addition to that, the Chachomim didn't want us to mix with non-Jews and to be too close to them. And this is one of the ways in which they wanted to distance us from the non-Jews. That we wouldn't be in their company at a time when we are drinking wine. We wouldn't drink wine together which is a much more relaxed social atmosphere. So any wine which even a non-Jew touches would already be forbidden, midrabanan, for a Jew to use. And vinegar belonging to a non-Jew, which originally was wine, and the non-Jew touched, or it was owned by the non-Jew whilst it was still wine, so even when it turns into vinegar, the prohibition remains. Because it could be that he used it for Avodah Zarah whilst it was still wine. The Cheres Hadrioni, which literally means the earthenware of Hadrian, one of the Roman emperors, when they would go out to war, they would take with them these earthenware, large pieces of earthenware, which were soaked in wine. And then the wine was sort of dry up inside these big earthenware pieces, but they would be soaked into the actual earthenware. And when they were out in war and they became thirsty or they wanted to have some wine, they would place these big earthenware pieces into water, and the earthenware would dissolve and sink to the bottom, whereas the wine would be at the top, and that way they would consume the wine. And the point of the Mishnah is that even before the wine has been taken out, since the wine is a part of these earthenware pieces, it's forbidden to benefit from them, just like it is forbidden to benefit from any of their wine. The Olis Levuvin, another thing which is forbidden to benefit from, are skins of animals which have a hole cut in them where the place of the heart of the animal is, because one of the practices of Avodah Zarah was to cut a hole in the skin of the animal whilst the animal was still alive, and to pull out its heart in order to offer it up for their Avodah Zarah. Now, if this animal was used in any way for a sacrifice for Avodah Zarah, it's forbidden to benefit from the entire animal, including the skin. So if you see that skin, then it would be forbidden to benefit from it, since it's part of a sacrifice for Avodah Zarah. Rav Shimon ben Gamliel says, "Zman sheker shel ogel," in a time, in a situation where the tear in the skin of the animal is rounded, then also it's forbidden because that was the practice. They would cut a round hole, which like a circle where the heart was, and pull out the heart. It's forbidden because you can certainly assume that it was used for that. Moshuch, but if the tear in the animal's skin is more elongated, it's more long rather than being round, mutter, it's permitted, because that was not the custom of those who would do this and take out the heart in order to serve it for Avodah Zarah. By the way, it could be that they didn't only offer up the heart to Avodah Zarah, but they would also offer the skin of the animal for Avodah Zarah. Something which is the heart, or perhaps also the skin, be it as it may, since this is part of an animal which was used for the sacrifice, it will be forbidden to benefit from it. Continues the Mishnah, Basar Nichlas Avodah Zarah, meat which is going into a building of Avodah Zarah, it's coming towards Avodah Zarah in order to be offered up for the sake of the Avodah Zarah. So clearly that meat has been designated for the sake of idol worship, but it hasn't yet been offered up to the idol. Says the Mishnah, Mutar, it is permitted to benefit from that meat, since the mere designation of something for the sake of Avodah Zarah does not prohibit that item as an item of Avodah Zarah. However, the Hayotze, meat which is going out of away from the Avodah Zarah, presumably it was used as a sacrifice for the Avodah Zarah, and therefore also it's forbidden to benefit from it, because it is like the sacrifices of the dead. That's the way that the Pasuk refers to sacrifices to Avodah Zarah, because it's like sacrificing to something which is dead. The Avodah Zarah is totally false, and the idol's not going to answer anybody. But the point of the mission over here is that we can assume that the meat which is going away from the Avodah Zarah was offered up as a sacrifice to the Avodah Zarah. Div Rabbi Akiva, that is the opinion of Rabbi Akiva. Aholchen la tarpus, one who is on the way to a building of Avodah Zarah. We're talking about a person who is on the way to a house of worship. Presumably he's going there in order to praise, perhaps to sacrifice, to do things for to worship the idol. Also, losses for losses moim, it's forbidden to do business with him. Just like we learned at the beginning of the Masechta, it's forbidden to do business with idol worshippers just before their festival, because they're going to associate and praise their idol for any good which happened to them very recently. The same thing applies over here. Whereas the Habo'in, in this case, those who are coming away from the house of Avodah Zarah, Mutarin, it's permitted to do business with them, because they're not on the way to praise their Avodah Zarah, so this is not going to be included in their praise. So although this Mishnah really should have been taught together with the Mishnah right at the beginning of the Masechta, it's over here because it's really the opposite of the previous case in the Mishnah regarding the meat, that on the way to the Avodah Zarah the meat is permitted, and on the way back it's forbidden, whereas over here it's forbidden to do business with the non-Jew when he is on the way to the Avodah Zarah, and it is permitted when he's on the way back. Mishnah Dalet, Nodos Hagoyim V'Kankaneim, flasks belonging to non-Jews, made out of animal skin or leather, V'Kankaneim, and their jugs, their containers made out of earthenware. Both of these were used to hold different liquids, for example, wine. And the non-Jew indeed used this for wine, and he poured out the wine. And when the jug or the container was dry, the Jew then poured his wine into there. And the question is his wine permitted, or does it become forbidden because it's touching the sides, the insides of these containers, and in the containers, of course, is absorbed some of the non-Jew's wine. Now, if he poured his own wine into the non-Jew's flask whilst there was still some drops of the non-Jew's wine, then certainly it's forbidden, because you've got some real tangible wine belonging to a non-Jew there. That would certainly be forbidden. The question is, in our case where the container was dry, just that some of the wine, of course, has been absorbed into the sides, the walls of these flasks. Is that enough to forbid the wine of the Jew which is now contained in those flasks? Well, it's a machlokes, it's up to dispute. According to the first opinion of the Mishnah, surin, that wine would be forbidden, v'surin asuran na'ar, and the prohibition would be a regular prohibition to even benefit from that wine, just like regular wine belonging to a non-Jew. Divrei Rav Meir, that is the opinion of Rav Meir. The Chachomim say, ein asuran asuran na'ar. Although the wine is forbidden, it's not forbidden to benefit from it. Since at the end of the day, no real tangible wine touched this wine, and it's only absorbed wine which touched it, so the prohibition is on a much lower level, and it is still permitted to benefit from that wine. So for example, the Jew would be able to sell that wine to a non-Jew, and he would be able to benefit from the money which he receives from there. The pips and the shells, the skins of the grapes, which belong to non-Jews, and you're referring to sort of the waste parts of grapes which have been gathered together during the process of turning the grapes into wine. So all of the waste parts of the grapes gathered together and are separated from the rest of the wine. It says the Mishnah, Asurin, it is forbidden for a Jew to have even, it's forbidden even to benefit from those parts of the grapes. Since it was involved in the process of the wine, it has the same law. The Rav Meir, that is the opinion of Rav Meir. But the Chachom say, Lachin Asurin. If they are moist, then they are forbidden, because there is some wine mixed together with them. Yevashim, but once they have dried up, because they've been left for a long time, the Gemara explains they've been left for 12 months, such that the wine which was there has now dried up, and now it's just the pips and the skins of the grapes, then Mutarin, it would be permitted to benefit from them, and even permitted to eat them, because only the wine itself is forbidden, so as long as the wine is mixed with it, it's forbidden, but once the wine itself has dried up, it will be permitted. And the Mishnah ends off with two more examples. Hamurias, this is some sort of fish brine, fish oil, which would be mixed with some salt or water, and often they would also add wine to this mixture. However, the wine wasn't to add any taste, and it wasn't added for the sake of the wine itself, but rather to get rid of some of the bitter taste and some of the foulness of the mixture that was gotten rid of by the wine. But the wine wasn't wanted in the mixture for itself, for its own taste. So there's a possibility that perhaps the regular prohibition of Yain Nesach won't apply. And the second case under discussion is Ugvinos Beis Unyoki Shel Goyim. Cheeses which come from a place called Beis Unyoki. If a non-Jew has a cheese like that, what is the status of that cheese? In order to make cheese, they would use something known as rennet, which comes from the stomach of an animal, in order to turn the milk into cheese. That's part of the process. Now, in Beis Yoki, many of the calves were slaughtered for the sake of Avodah Zarah, and that would prohibit the entire animal, including the rennet, which comes from the stomach. However, it wasn't the majority of the animals which were slaughtered in Beis Yoki, which were used as sacrifices for Avodah Zarah. There were a lot of animals like that, but it wasn't the majority. Do we need to be concerned that this cheese was indeed made from the rennet which came from an animal which was used and slaughtered for Avodah Zarah? Or do we rely on the majority and assume that it came from a different animal? So in these two cases, according to the first opinion, Asurin, the Asurin Isser Hano'ah, both the mixture of the fish oil and the wine, and these cheeses are forbidden to even benefit from the Reb Meir. That is the opinion of Reb Meir. The fish oil mixture has wine in it, and we don't care that the wine is only there in order to get rid of some foulness in that mixture. At the end of the day, you're consuming the wine, which belongs to a non-Jew. And in the case of the cheese, Reb Meir is of the opinion that chayshinon l'mi'uta. We always need to take into account even a minority option, as long as there is quite a high chance of that having been the case, that it came from an animal which was used for the sake of Avodah Zarah. Even if it's not the majority, we still need to be concerned about that option. Whereas the Chachom say in both of these cases, in Asur and Asur Hana'ah, although they are forbidden, they are not forbidden to benefit from. In the case of the Murdos, the wine is not there for the sake of the wine itself, so therefore its prohibition is lighter. And in the case of the cheese, we do not need to be concerned for a minority option. However, even according to the Chachomim, we'll be forbidden to consume those cheeses, to eat them, because any cheese which belongs to a non-Jew is forbidden to eat, as the next Mishnah is going to elaborate on much more.